This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
He's big time into it. Somebody was, they're so good.
He was hurt for a while, and somebody was like, oh, you're playing Call of Duty or something. You're not hurt. And he's like, I'm not playing Call of Duty. I'm playing Elder Scrolls. He's like, get that
this
kid stuff out of here.
This is the Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Randy Orton paid a guy $1,000 to grind levels for his Elden Ring character.
That's what I want to do. I want to find a rich guy. Yeah, I'll play video games as you. Elon.
There's a market for it.
That's weird. That is so weird.
Yes.
Hold on. I'll intro and we'll just roll into this. This is just weird. Good morning, Tuscaloosa, internet world. West Alabama, how are we doing today on this Wednesday? It is the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. Hanging out with you guys in the Derek Daniel State Farm Studios, a proud part of the Bama Central Broadcasting Network. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon. You can find us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page, on all my social media machines at JoeGaither6. We appreciate everybody who has subscribed, rated, reviewed the show on their favorite platforms. And everybody who put up with the nonsense yesterday, not nonsense, we had a lot of fun with the Alpha Alexander Lincoln talking New Era Wrestling, talking about WrestleMania. We want to talk about football today. My football topics, we got a lot more Alabama football topics to get into today. We want to re-suck in the audience just a little bit. Oh, the first thing that I need to get at right out of the way is yesterday we said, 121 days? We messed up the countdown on Bama Central Roll Tide, roll call, excuse me. It is actually now 129 days. We were ahead of ourselves. We were excited. Don't hate us. Somebody messed up the count. I guess nobody was checking over the last 7 days that the number wasn't looking right. I saw a media colleague put out a number yesterday, and I said, that's not the number I said on the show.
Let's double check that.
So 129 days until Alabama kicks off against Florida State. What do I want to do today? I want to talk about ESPN's matchup predictor. I want to talk about the playoff dates, actually, because we're going to have an entire postseason without a single Saturday day game. Day or night game. There's no postseason game scheduled on a Saturday. I find that unusual. And when I want to talk about Madden Iamaliava and buyouts and contract buyouts, and I want to talk about Chad Baker Mazzara as it relates to that, and kind of what direction we're going in college athletics with the transfer portal, because finally, the power brokers, the people with the money, seem like they are tired of the current dynamic, the current structure. So we're going to talk about all that. But Mason and I were stumbling into, you were telling me before we got started, we're video game heads. Randy Orton, wrestler, was paying someone $1,000 to play a game as him.
To level up a character in a game for him,
Why?
I don't know. I do see both sides of this. I think it's a little dumb, yes, because the entire purpose of playing a video game is to play the video game and to do it yourself and to unlock things and do the achievements and whatever, at least in my opinion. That's why I play video games.
Right.
But also, I do think a lot of games now, in an attempt to keep their player base sucked into their game for as long as they possibly can, have made things very grindy and like you got to spend just countless hours to unlock everything. And also, Elden Ring, the game we were discussing at the beginning, not a game like that, but a lot of games are like this where there's one way to succeed in the game. This is the meta. This is like, if you're not doing this, you're going to lose because this is just the best thing. And sometimes that will take, a lot of hours to unlock those, whatever, which attachments, whatever have you in said game. So, there is definitely a market where video game streamers and things like that who don't want to take the time to spend the 15, 25, whatever hours off of their stream to unlock things, we'll just pay someone else to do it. So, you know, I get it, I guess, if you don't want to spend all that time, but also, like, why'd you get the game in the first place?
Right. That's where I'm going right there in my brain is like,
but then again, you are one of these streamers, YouTubers, whatever, like, it's your job. It's not like you maybe didn't even buy the game for fun. You maybe just bought it because you have to, because it's popular right now.
So what you're selling me is you're paying someone else. You're paying someone else that they are essentially running all the cheat codes, or I guess, for you.
I mean, no, like, they're
not cheat codes, yeah, but like they're just leveling up all
of the stuff for you, so then you can just play the game uninhibited.
Right. The
on your whatever,
that person is the cheat code.
Yeah,
they're getting you all the, you know,
yeah, Call of Duty is where I've seen it happen the most, and it'll be, you know, take any Call of Duty gun in a game. There's 25, 30 of them in a game, whatever it is, 40 of them. Each of those guns has 30 different attachments you have to unlock. They're each 50 levels you have to unlock and progress through to master. So you see how it, you know, it takes a long time. Like, I don't play Call of Duty anymore. I haven't played it for a few years, but in my peak days of playing it, like, I don't know, we probably played every day, me and my friends,
sure,
for better part of 2-3 years. And like, I didn't even have every attachment, everything unlocked in the game. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. So I get it. If you don't, you know, if you have, like, I might do that if I had the money to just pay somebody, be like, hey man, unlock everything in the game for me, then I can just play it however I want to. Yeah, sure. But I don't know.
That seems like an absurd use of your money.
It does, but you know, Randy Orton's got it like that.
There you go. There you go. Here I am only playing my football video games, you know, 7-0, 14-10, that sort of thing. Keeping it nice and neat. No, nobody's got to grind out to get the extra running backs.
But that's one too where like you'd pay some, you know, so the Madden guys will pay people to, you know, play and unlock the packs to get the players on their teams and get them upgraded and whatever.
Horrible.
You know? Yeah, bad.
Horrible culture around video games, in my opinion, for that. Microtransactions. Yeah. All right, let's
bring back the gambling for children. You know, that's what they need, where it was all just loot boxes. You never know what you're going to get.
Ridiculous. That's insane. How much credit card fraud goes on in
well, did you see the bit? You saw that big Fortnite, like, class action lawsuit that happened within the last probably 6 months.
No.
Or so. People were getting, like, I mean, thousands of dollars in payout because the lawsuit basically was that Fortnite, Epic Games, whoever it is, had
predatory.
Entirely too easy for children to enter their parents' credit card information and then just buy things at, you know, their own will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a massive, massive class action lawsuit where a lot of people got thousands of dollars back from them.
I tell you, my adolescence, my youth, I came up right on the front side of microtransactions. I would have absolutely gotten my butt whooped.
Yeah.
In my household, if you took the credit card and you spent how much on
a skin,
right, on a video game
you don't even see while you play in some of these games because it's first person.
Ridiculous. Insanity. Oh, I would have been really, really raked over the coals. Yeah. But I would have deserved it.
Luckily, when we were like playing, it was mostly like you'd buy the game and then 6 months later you'd get one DLC pack that was like a few extra maps or something, and that was fine. You ask your parents, hey, $10, can we have this, and it was cool. But yeah, no, now it's they just every opportunity they get.
Yes,
every game's got a store page now with, you know,
ridiculous. You can buy this game for this. Like, what are you? Insanity.
I mean, there's free to play games. Overwatch, I play that game a lot. It's perfect. It is free to play. You can go download it on your computer right now, play it for free. But there's a paid version that you can buy. And damn it, if they didn't get me. If you buy the paid version, it unlocks all of the characters without you having to do it yourself. And I was like, yeah, man, shoot, $30 saves me however many hours. That's worth it. It wasn't worth it because I only play one character in the game that would have been unlocked otherwise. But, you know, they got my money.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, we got to make this into a fun Wednesday. And let's do this by talking some football. Some football!
Just some good stuff.
What do you want to start with? Because I got a lot of interesting things on this tab to me. College football playoff dates, playoff predictions. Actually, why don't we start with Madden?
Yeah.
So what I'm reading about Madden Iamaleava, will we ever have to say that name in the NFL? Will that name ever make it into the NFL? Will Madden or Nico ever become somebody that we're going to have to really, or will these guys' names just go down in the history books of bad NIL deals and bad, you know, transfer portal troubles, and like, how will we remember the Iamaleava Alva family?
I mean, how much do we think the NFL genuinely, you know, truly cares about this kind of stuff? Because if they're good enough, like, who cares? At least in my opinion, that kind of how the NFL views everything. It's, if you got the talent, we could care less what you did off the field. But if you're good enough to play, you're good enough to play. So it's really just kind of up to Nico now and Madden here. If they want to, you know, if they want to play well at UCLA, they can certainly get themselves to the NFL. Most teams will not look at this as a, if you're good enough, they're not going to write you off because of this.
So it sounds like Madden Iamaleava enrolls in Arkansas in January and, enrolls in school, players enroll in schools, cash NIL checks only to enter the portal. I'm reading this article from CBS Sports. Sounded like he enrolled in January, didn't get paid that much, but then got a check, maybe for finishing spring, perhaps, and then jumps in the transfer portal and goes to UCLA to be with brother, which I think probably didn't have much of a choice. I think Madden probably, dad said, hey, your brother needs you to come to UCLA because we needed a sweetener for the deal to save his career, so you're transferring. And so now, okay, here we go. You got Hunter Yurecek. Where is this statement here? Hunter Yurecek goes crazy on social media the other day. Yurecek, internet personality. No, you're not an internet personality. You are the Arkansas athletic director. He ended up saying what? I've spoken with the leadership team at Arkansas Edge and expressed my support in their pursuit to enforce their rights under any agreement violated by our student athletes moving forward. We agreed Edge's investment in our student athletes and acknowledge, or we, excuse me, we appreciate Edge's investment in our student athletes and acknowledge the enforcement of these agreements is vital to our new world of college athletics. We look forward to continued dialogue with all parties in resolving these matters. Hey, man. It's cool. Get your NIL checks. Great. But fulfill your obligations.
You did sign a deal.
And if you leave, great. Go to the portal. Fine. But shouldn't that just be snip, 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 contract is over?
We need a...
You're in a messy territory. Go ahead.
We need a bounty hunter for the SEC that goes and chases kids down that transferred to the Big Ten or Pac-12 and they get their money back.
Nick, that's Nick's new role. Yeah,
maybe we bring Jeremy Pruitt out of the woodwork. That would be his job.
Yes, he'd be all perfect. The disgrace coach.
Yeah, we have a team of about 5 to 10 disgrace coaches.
Houston Nutt,
and they're the bounty hunters. They go get the NIL funds back.
Special advisor Tommy Tuberville.
Oh man,
Will Muschamp is definitely in this group.
One. That's a good one. Yeah, I'm trying to think of some now. I'm struggling to even think of any.
Come on. Steve Spurrier.
Ooh.
Steve Spurrier. The kids. You know, you remember the Steve Spurrier hooey with Jadeveon Clowney trying to make him run?
Yes,
I don't run. Maybe. That sort of stuff. Like, ugh.
Well, I'll never forget. I don't know why this is so burned into my memory. I think it was just because, for whatever reason, you know, just right place, right time watching it. But this season when Pharaoh Cooper played for South Carolina. And every game, Steve Spurrier come off the sideline. Well, we got Pharaoh Cooper. Pharaoh. It was always Pharaoh Cooper. And it just really was the funniest thing to me, the way he pronounced that name. It's just Pharaoh, but it was Pharaoh. Pharaoh Cooper. Good on you, Arkansas. Go get your money back.
Philip Fulmer's in this group, too.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's
Philip Fulmer's like, we can't let that fat bastard get out of the conference with all our money.
Brian Harsin?
No. Brian Harsin tried to apply for it, and the guy said no. Brian Harsin put his application in for the SEC coach.
Quickly slotted to the no file.
The former coach's enforcement committee. And they were like, you coached in the league? No, I don't remember that.
They saw Hugh Freeze's application. They were like, coach, you're already coaching. You can't join.
He's like, wait, but I want to make sure we get our money back.
Oh, I mean, this is the right move for Arkansas. I don't know how this is going to work.
The right move for everyone.
It's nasty. It's dirty. This is going to get really hectic. It seems if schools are forced to go after these players themselves and take legal action against them to get their money back or to enforce their contracts or whatever it is, that's going to get really ugly if schools are having to do that themselves, because every school is going to do it a little differently. Every school is going to have their own plan of attack. Yeah.
You got to come up with it. You can't pay the kids in the spring semester. That's what I don't know. Like, I'm going to advocate always for the guys and girls to make the money, but how can we like insulate or ensure the universities?
You don't get paid till December.
Exactly. Like, you got to, hey buddy, first week's game checks. First week's game checks, you're on the roster. There's your money from spring, bro.
I don't hate this.
Here's your fat check.
Is everything you would have made this spring.
Right, right. And then it gets it for you. And then it gets prorated across the 14 weeks or whatever. And then, oh, you get a little bonus because we're playing postseason. Sure. Great. But now the payments stop. Hey, what are we doing? We're preparing these guys for the NFL, are we not? Like, this that's
how it works.
That's our goal. We're preparing college, prepare us for life. Here's your job, practice your job. Now you're in your job, right? Well, NFL boys, guess what happens? 17 checks. Not 52. What's half of that? Not 26. 17 checks. And so you got to manage your money in the NFL. You get huge game check, but then you got to go a long time without getting paid, yeah. Which is fine. It's the way it works. So can we not adopt this model a little bit? How? I mean, I don't know if this is feasible. This is just coming to me all in the moment. Like, yeah. This is just coming to me right now. Like, what do we do to keep the players paid but protect the universities?
I think the only real way to do it is to move toward closer to what the NFL has. Now, I don't know if that necessarily means, you know, everybody's under the same salary cap pool of money kind of thing, like whatever, you know, if we want to go there, we can. But as far as just like players getting game checks, you're getting paid for playing the game. You're going to get a check when you play the game. We're not going to pay you in March. We're not going to pay you in April or whatever. You know, I think that's a great idea because, you know, I would think it would quell many of these stories like we're seeing now where it's off-season disputes. And I understand in the NFL you still get these with the players, but it's usually on contract years. It's not just, oh, I just signed a deal yesterday. I don't want to show up to practice because I want to be paid more money. You know, there's so much more structure to it. So, yeah, I think, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit, like Lane Kiffin did his podcast tour over the last couple of weeks, and I saw him multiple times on whatever show he was on that day talking about how, like, yeah, we just need to move to what the NFL does. We just need to do what the NFL does. Oh, we just need to do what the NFL does. And he's right. Like, the NFL has a model that works. We watch it all year. We see it work in front of our eyes. I don't understand why we can't just apply this to college football. This, you know, the veil of amateurism is gone. It has been gone.
Well, let's take Madden. Madden's at UCLA. He transfers from UCLA to Arkansas in the December window is what I, right? No, he's been there for a year. Yeah, he was there as a freshman at UCLA. He's spent his sophomore season at Arkansas. Is that how I have it right, the timeline?
I think that's what it was, but I'm pulling up his page right now just to double check.
All right, so we're at Arkansas. We've finished our terrible year. You've gotten your last game check, Madden, and your coaches say, hey, man, we're going to talk about our agreement for next year, and our agreement for next year is XYZ. But, yeah, you got to wait to get the payments on that in August. You got to wait to get the payments in that in early September. And so you want to go through spring. You want to flirt with the transfer portal. You want to negotiate new deals with other colleges. Cool. I don't know. I'm not trying to, you know, read my own headlines, but I'm kind of thinking that this is the best idea that I might have ever had. So he leaves. Then, thus, whatever that agreement that we had for 2025 is null and void. It's gone. We didn't pay you money in the spring. You didn't. You walked away from the money you were promised. Mm-hmm. And then obviously you're negotiating something with UCLA. You're negotiating something with your new school. Your new school says, yeah, we'll pay you XYZ ABC starting on September 1st, last week of August, you know, game checks, basically prorating. I think maybe does this slow down the portal a little bit
I think it certainly does. Obviously you're still going to have your handful of problem players that are doing things like this. But yeah, I think it would fix a lot of the issues, a lot of the more minor disputes between players and their programs.
All right. I know I got a lot of great loyal listeners and a lot of smart listeners. So what am I missing from this angle? What's the hole? So come poke holes in this angle. Because look, this is how the NFL teams do it. This is how their league is structured. You get your massive, stupid money contract, but it gets prorated over 17 weeks and you get bonus checks for playoffs that are not kind of really included in the contract. Those are, hey, this game is worth $180,000 if you win, and I think it's like 60 something if you lose. So here's what it is. It's all, everybody's making the same money.
I guess the next step would just be, what's the pay scale look like? What are we paying quarterbacks? What are we paying receivers?
I think that can still be variable to the universities.
Is this going to be each player and their agent and their team is negotiating a deal with this program and that'll be what it comes to? Or a program's going to say, hey, this is what we pay players. You can come here and get this money or you can't, whatever.
The problem is you have no one to enforce any sort of structure. So you could have, 130 D1 teams, 131, 132 Division I teams. You could have them all say, yeah, we're going to agree to this pay date structure. But as soon as little Billy gets upset, we're going to slip him $100.
Yeah.
Like, the enforcement is the issue. And it always has been the issue. It's been the issue in the NCAA. I mean, $100 handshakes in the 70s and 80s and 90s. Like, whatever. And I'm not trying about that. But, like, we're not idiots. Like, we know what happens. The enforcement is the issue.
A lot easier to keep track of 32 teams than it is 130.
Oh, goodness gracious. Especially when the 32 teams, of course, they're all competitive. Sure. And they're all looking for competitive edges. Sure. But I think that you're much more likely to play in the gray area in college sports when there's 130 something teams, and now we can get away with it.
Well, and too, in the NFL, at the end of the day, I mean, it's,
they're under a microscope.
Yeah, and it's all the owners just trying to make more money. And in college, it's a little it is more genuinely about, like, coaches hating each other and wanting to get one over on each other, and these schools not liking each other, like. I don't know. It's less about just a bunch of rich owners sitting in their skyboxes being like, well, we need to make more money this year or whatever it is. So that as well.
The issue is you're going to get a lot of sentimental, well, mama's light bill is out.
Well, we paid you $100,000 a game last year, buddy. So
right. Tough. This is the lesson. This is the lesson here. Like, everybody talked about, going back, you can remember this, when NIL was first getting implemented and people were crying about these kids making all this money, da 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 da. And what was my argument? Buddy, we are preparing them for their next job, which is the NFL, and they will make exorbitantly more money. So we got to give them a little bit to practice with, give them a little bit of cheddar to, manage this. So they figure this out. I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to look for a hole in my idea. I'm really trying to look for a hole in my thought here, because I think that this is the way. But the problem is you're not going to get
contracts. Are we just doing 1 year deals with players?
Yeah, of course. You play
up every offseason.
Hey, Mason, you're in the class of 2026. You're a hot shot, bro. We need you. We'll offer you XYZ ABC. You want to take it? Great. Payments start in September. And then in December, when the bowl game's over or national title game, and you want to come into my office and say, hey, coach, how did I do? And we draw up a number and we say, payment start in September. Save your money. Like, you want to go shop a new deal? This is the number we got. And if you, like, you're not going to get a dime of this till September. You can go shop a new deal in the spring semester if you want to. If you want to, but we're not on the hook for any of this money.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to find, like, you got to protect both sides here a little bit. The kids got to make their money, but the investments, the colleges, like, you cannot have what's happened with the Imamababas. You cannot
I think that
you cannot have what happened, the rumors of what's happened with Chad Baker Mazzara. You cannot have it.
Yeah. I think that plan does a good job in kind of providing insurance for both sides. I do think we would still see a lot of players who, in that spring, when their contract is time to re-up, it's going to be, well, I'm going to go talk to all these schools and find, I'm going to hit the transfer portal and go see what my options are. You're still going to see a lot of that probably.
Okay, fine. But you, yeah, still see
fine.
It.
In this scenario, both parties are protected money with their investment. It's no longer Arkansas having to sue this player because,
right, because they, now, you know, we're going to court.
Yes.
And now we're in litigation and this thing has gone on and gone on and gone on. And we're talking about, yes, the Amaliabas for the next 4 years when probably neither one of these young men are going to do anything in the NFL.
Yeah. So while it may not necessarily, you know, but you'll probably still see a lot of players transferring, a lot of players in the transfer portal, seeing what their options are, exploring their options, seeing, oh, where can I get a new deal out of that, whatever. You're not going to see any more of these Nico Madden, Amaliava stories where it's now the university is having to take legal action against them because they've gone back on a contract that they signed or vice versa, whatever it is.
That would
be gone.
It's killing the sport. It just kills it. I don't know. If you're a Tennessee fan, how can you feel good about going to it? Like, we just made the playoff. We beat Alabama for the second time in 3 years. Oh.
You got Josh Heupel. They'll be fine.
We swapped quarterbacks with UCLA. Joe Yag from App State. This young joker played at Appalachian State.
He's pretty good there, though.
Okay. And now, but you know what's going to end up happening. 8 months from now? When Tennessee's gone 6-7, we gotta fire Josh Heupel.
He didn't make any in-game adjustments all season.
Right? It's like, dude, like, there's no such thing as sense. There's no such thing as fully thinking about things. So Josh Heupel, if you're a Tennessee fan, you've spent the last 2 weeks saying, yeah, Josh, you showed them. Yeah, we stuck it to them, even though we invited this problem. But we stuck it to them. And will you remember this in December? when George McIntyre, right, George?
When you're clamoring to have your true freshman start.
Right, over... George is getting crushed. 6'12", George McIntyre, 112 pounds, is getting crushed. His whippy arm, I mean, it does look like a whip. Sure. But he's broken on the on the ground in Neyland Stadium. Yeah. And you're like, will you give Josh Heupel, will you give him grace and say, well, he just got screwed over by a greedy family.
I do not believe that the Volunteer Faithful will be doing that, no.
No. If DeBoer is up in that rear end, they're going to lose their mind.
I'm looking here at Madden Iamaliava's 247 page.
Not worth a dime.
We have a commitment, May 25, 2024, UCLA. Decommitment, December 2024 from UCLA. Commitment to Arkansas the following day. Enrolls at Arkansas in January of 2025. April 2025, back in the transfer portal at UCLA again.
Oh, so he's not even done a freshman.
Not even done a freshman year at Arkansas, it would appear. Signed in December of 2024, enrolled in January of this year, and has left.
So, yes, you enroll, because that's what I read, is that didn't get NIL checks, got NIL checks, then bounced. It's you enroll in January.
Expect to be paid immediately, I guess.
Wild. Which... I am an advocate for the freshmen getting paid because they already do have value. You wouldn't want them in. You wouldn't want them if they didn't have value.
They've already created the value for themselves.
But brother, we will pay you in September. This money, we'll prorate it across the year.
Yep.
And we'll name the number. I don't care. You can make it as ridiculous as you want, but you got to protect the
institutions.
Because otherwise, why do they want to keep paying the kids?
I mean, this is...
You want to keep paying you? Oh, I paid Mason Woods. He worked for me for a couple of days, then went to another radio show. Oh, great. Well, then I guess I don't want to pay my next co-host. Like, what?
This is like part of, you know, in the early days of the NIL and everything, when everybody was, oh, this is ruining the game. This was like my argument of, like, then was just, give it time, everybody. These investors, these billionaires, they will get sick of paying kids and not getting anything out of it. And we're finally seeing it a little bit now. They're starting to get sick of paying kids and getting nothing out of it.
part of the market.
It took a little longer than I thought it would. I won't lie to you. But hey, we're finally starting to get there.
And it'll keep going.
Yeah.
It'll
get worse.
It will keep going.
Yes, these collectives will start to lose money. They will start to hemorrhage money because these guys are sick of having useless investments.
Think about it from an Alabama perspective here. You're an Alabama big hotshot. You're a big timer. You're donating to Yale, Alabama. You're donating directly into the funds.
Put money in players' pockets yourself.
Right. You are down in Jordan-Hare Stadium, 4th and 31, and you're biting every fingernail off. You're sitting there. Oh, my gosh, we're about to lose to Auburn, 4th and 31. There is no way we complete this pass. That's what I was thinking. Zero chance. Certainly. I'm writing, Alabama has lost, da-da-da-da-da, you know, or just pounding away. Low, came up short, never, couldn't get it done. Jalen Miller back, holding, waiting. Oh, there's one. I'll fire that bad boy. Holy bleep, he caught it. You're exploding. Your mind has gone blank.
Yes.
And you're just elated. 10, 20 minutes later, you have come down and you're thinking, whatever those jokers want, I'll pay them. My money, yes, thank you. Great effort. Good job. And who is the one that asked for a raise? It's Isaiah Bond. The one who you're already paying a lot. Okay, Isaiah. Great play. You nice earned catch. It. You earned it. Bloop, you slide it through. You give him his raise. And then the next week happens. You're in Atlanta. It's 4th and 8, right? 4th and 6, something like that towards the end of the first half. Huge play. Huge play in the momentum of the game to beat Georgia. You can talk about the refs blew it. He dropped the ball. I don't care. Whatever. Isaiah Bond comes up with a catch. Another really nice, timely catch. Imported. Comes back in for another raise. And you're, hey, buddy, didn't I just get, what are we negotiating for? Hey, where's the level? I scored 20 points last night. I scored 20 points again last night. I scored 20 points again last night. It's like, isn't that what the contract? Whatever the money that they agreed to with Mark, and look, I don't even want to say Mark's name because I don't think that anything bad with him. But like, they agreed to that at the onset of the year. And so every time that Mark scored his 20 points and had his big nights, I think it was just, yeah, man, great stuff.
Thank you. Go
get your cheeseburger. we'll make sure the check clears. Like, it's all good. Like, where does it bind? Where does it bind of, hey, I threw for 300 yards. Give me a raise.
It's got to be agents in these kids' heads, I think. Got to be.
Yes.
Because, like, it just who is, you know, the idea that I can, just this notion that like, oh man, I made a play. I should get a raise. Like, that's not how life works. That's not how any of this works. It's just so insane that, I don't know, it feels, and it is very just this entitled, very like self-indulgent kind of way to think, I believe, of just, I'm going to come back to you every time I make a play looking for a raise. It's like, well, I paid you in the first place to make that play. I didn't, you know, that was actually what you got paid to do. So I'm not going to give you any more money for doing your job. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know where the issue begins, but it certainly feels like agents have a lot to do with it because they are constantly putting bad ideas in many of these players' heads of, oh, they don't respect you. They're not giving you enough money. Oh, you deserve more money. You could go get more money than that. I don't know. It's just everything is such a disaster right now. And because there's,
I feel like such a boomer.
Yeah. There's zero guidelines anywhere. You know, we got said earlier, got to do what the NFL does. Got to do what the NFL does. NFL has a very, very strenuous vetting process for their agents and player, the people that get to represent their players in contract negotiations and things like that. NCAA needs that. Because it's just Wild West now, and anybody that wants to say, hey, I'm an NIL agent, can say that, and then tell a kid.
We got to become NIL agents.
Maybe we do.
Leave this profession behind and just start preying on 17-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of people are doing nowadays, I guess.
Yikes. All right, Mason Woods, let's shift gears a little bit. Warren Tyron Auto, they have been a Tuscaloosa and University of Alabama staple since 1961. They're in their third generation of family ownership. Warren Tyron Auto is your go-to place for all your automotive needs. They've got two great locations to serve you. For tires, brakes, and alignment, you can reach out to them on 15th Street at 205-759-5505. For all your other automotive needs, you can see them on University Boulevard at 205-758-2739. That's Warren Tyron Auto, your go-to place for all your automotive needs in the Tuscaloosa and West Alabama area.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
As we keep going, I want to give a shout out to our man Dax. Dax hasn't hit us on the voicemail in a couple days, and that is A-OK. He reached out and said, oh, going through a couple of little things, dealing with a couple things. I'll be back. I'll call back here soon. Great. Dax, we just want you to know we're thinking about you. Keep going. You're doing great. Keep going, and we'll catch back up with you again soon. You guys call in on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. On the Facebook side of things, Everett Osmer asks, do y'all ever meet your fans? We did meet Dex at New Era Wrestling 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something in that range. I will meet our fans pretty much anytime when I'm out and about, but I like to stay at home when I can.
I'm a homebody.
We can work on that. Ooh, Mason, big rain behind you.
Oh, good times.
Awesome. So I hope everybody is nice and safe on the road today. Make sure your tires are looking right. Warren Tire can make sure that you are riding around on good tires. And, of course, with the rain, we want to remind you to make sure you are properly insured driving around in Tuscaloosa. If you're not, or if you don't even know, you need to call Derek Daniel and find out what your insurance is doing with your current policy and how Derek Daniel can save you money with a better policy. Call Derek and his team at 205-758-3391. All right, so I want to shift gears to Bill Connolly. Bill Connolly, ESPN, S&P's algorithm, ESPN's kind of analytical page, has predicted the college football playoffs for the 2025 season and has the Crimson Tide as the top-ranked team in the SEC to go. The number two-ranked team overall.
Does he say who the quarterback is?
No, not in this article. Maybe I need to let's see. Yeah, click the actual ESPN article. Yeah, perfect. Oh, great. Not this aggregator, Joe. Come on, buddy.
Of course, it's ESPN Plus.
You're better. Yeah, but I have the ESPN Plus, so we're all good. I can. It's got to log into my cable package to make sure that I have the ESPN Plus. Thank you, ESPN. Yes, I have it. Load. Is the quarterback? It's Ty Simpson, bro. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Number returning production, recent recruiting, recent history are the three factors here. Number one, Ohio State. No, it doesn't have any details. Number one, Ohio State. Number two, Alabama. Three, Penn State. Four, Georgia. Five, Notre Dame. Six, Oregon. Seven, Texas. Eight, Tennessee. Nine, Ole Miss. 10, LSU. 11, Clemson. And 12, Texas A&M.
Where did Ty Simpson stack among the SEC quarterback-wise? SEC's got some good quarterbacks. I guess Nico's gone now, so that's one less. But
he was better than Nico. Come on now, wasn't he? Just because Nico was on the field doesn't make him better.
I'd probably still take Nico's ceiling over Ty Simpson.
Okay. Yeah, you're asking me this, and my mind goes, who's playing quarterback in the SEC?
Yeah,
Go ahead.
Lenore Sellers.
Yeah, no.
You're not putting Lenore Sellers over him?
Yeah, that's the no, Arch no, no, Manning. No, no. I'm going, these guys are better.
Yes,
yeah,
okay. Arch Manning, Garrett Nussmeier. I hear an argument on Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah,
so Diego Pavia? Taylen Green looked good last year. Jackson Arnold. Doesn't excite me. Blake Shapen doesn't excite me. Marcel Reed looked good in spurts last year. We're getting down the list here now. We're at 11. Gunnar Stockton, which I don't know that Gunnar Stockton.
I've got three quarterbacks better, like definitively better.
Mm-hmm. So he's been that upper echelon then.
National title, baby. National title or bust. It's Mac Bold Jones. It's Mac Jones season.
Might be. It might just be. I don't know that. They've got that offensive line this year.
Winning the SEC title per Bill Connelly. Seems like not impossible by any means, but just seems like that would be a huge step up.
That would be quite the accomplishment. And maybe I'm wrong. You know, I could be, have been a lot. I believe the SEC is going to be very strong this year. At the top there.
Yeah. Texas isn't going anywhere.
Georgia's not going anywhere. I think South Carolina is going to be pretty dang good this year. I think Florida is going to be pretty good this year. LSU probably going to have a bounce back here, I would imagine. Texas A&M, I can't imagine, would be bad. I mean, I think your bottom feeders will still be your bottom feeders, your Mississippi States, your Vanderbilts, your
Auburn.
But I think
Tennessee.
You know, I think up at the top and in that, like, you know, kind of top middle tier, kind of, you know, that not necessarily the elite tier, but right under there's gonna be a lot of really good football teams in there, you know, the top seven or so teams in the SEC.
So do you think these Alabama fans expect to make the playoff?
They absolutely expect to make the playoff.
Is that fair or unfair?
No, I think that's fair.
Because I think it kind of is too.
I think it's pretty fair.
Last year that was kind of the expectation, and I thought might be a little bit of a stretch.
You know, with the 12 team, I understood it a bit, being like being so much easier to get in. I kind of got it, but yeah, I'm with you. I thought expecting a playoff berth was maybe a little bit of wishful thinking last year, but this year, I think that's valid. I think you should.
We fire Coach DeBoer if he doesn't make it.
No, wouldn't go that far.
Forks.
Now his job will be. People will want that.
Torches and forks and pitchforks.
You will see a mutiny outside of outside of the Malmore Athletic Facility. Now won't be a single player in that group of people. It'll be all fans, but you'll see it. No, I would not. I wouldn't say fire him if he doesn't make it. Now, if you go 3-7 this year, 3-8, whatever it is, 3-9, maybe you consider it. But that's not going to happen. I think as long as you win 8-9 games, he keeps his job another year. If he gets to the playoff, even better.
All right, so yesterday, Kane Womack was on WNSP down in Mobile, a radio station that I'm sometimes on, right? Love being on WNSP in the afternoons, and my man Michael Bronner is down there in the mornings. So I'm sure that Michael was in on this question, whether he's hitting the board or something. He's kind of co-host, he's kind of producer, he's kind of Mr. Do-It-All down there.
That's how it goes for the radio station, you know. You kind of wind up just doing everything.
Hey, and he does it. So they had Kane Womack on, and they asked him the question we have been asking: what the hell are y'all doing to these boys to keep them from going to the transfer portal? Now, not in that silly way, but basically, yeah, why isn't anybody going to the transfer portal? His quote is, "I think head coach Kalen DeBoer does a tremendous job. He's very proactive. He's very engaging. He's very relational with people. I think he certainly understands the business side of this game, but he also keeps the main thing the main thing. People think you either got to go get yours or you can sacrifice for the team. The truth is, high tides raise all boats. For us, keeping this mindset for the players, everybody wants our starters, but they want our twos. They want our threes as well. And I think Kalen's done a really tremendous job of managing that to getting these guys to buy into this team and how that helps them as individuals."
That's good. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff. That's some good. Yeah, that's good soundbite. Yeah. Juice me up, Kane. Give me more. One of the really interesting things, I think, in that quote, keeping the first things first, is that, you know, something like that to that effect.
He's very engaged. He's very relational with the people. I think he certainly understands the business side of the game, but he also keeps the main thing the main thing.
I think that's lost a little bit among some college football fans who think that, you know, who are upset with the NIL and everything, is that I do think at the end of the day, the best players in college football are the ones that are still focused on football. They are the ones, those are the players you want on your team. Those are the players that are going to be the best. And there's still a lot of those players. The majority of players out there still are worried or are focused on football. We see the examples. It's pretty obvious to us, the players that get focused on money and transfer here and there and everywhere. It's obvious what happens to a lot of those players. Now, sure, some of them are just good enough to overcome any bit of adversity because they're just that talented, but not many of them are. So I think that is that's a big thing, is that for many of these players, it is still just about playing football and getting to the NFL and playing with their guys and playing for a national championship. Money is kind of just an extra cool thing that happens. It seems like Kalen DeBoer has really figured that out.
I think money becomes a focus when your culture is just not very strong. Now, of course, that's a little rose-colored glasses. Well, of course, Alabama's culture is so strong. But I think there's some truth to it. I think that Coach DeBoer in, 14 months, right? 15, 13, 14 months. I think in this very short period of time, he has made the players feel one thing is true. This man cares about me and my well-being. Whether that means I'm a starter or cares about me going to class or my mama or my child. I think Coach DeBoer's soft skills are very, 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 very good.
It certainly seems that way.
And understanding motivational, I guess, not tactics, but what drives the players?
Yeah, what makes these players tick? Seems like he's doing a really good job of getting very personal with them and like truly learning what motivates them instead of just being like, well, this is the way I motivate you,
right? And aren't you motivated by this $100,000, Billy? Okay, I think Billy's really into raising his son that he had maybe too early, or Billy, you know, whatever the case may be. Just
everybody's got something.
I think Coach DeBoer is really strong, and I'm really, really, really impressed. Here we are on the 23rd. The portal closes on Friday, and again, I guess I'm still in the camp that I'm expecting 1 to 5 players to go in by Friday, but boy, just. This is a peace of mind that I think Alabama fans need to really, really take hold of and appreciate. Call your Auburn fan. Call your Georgia fan friend. Call your Tennessee fan friend. I know they're not your friends, but call them. Pick any fan base, university. Call them.
Any one of them.
Ask them how their transfer portal season is going. Call Oklahoma. You think the Oklahoma fan was real happy to see that 5-star defensive lineman go in the portal, be there for a day and a half, and then come back out? What do you think that cost Oklahoma? Oh, just put your thinking cap on. What do you think that cost Brent Venables? Whatever it cost, you didn't have to pay it, Alabama fans. Yeah. I just think that is... In a day and age where everything is changing and there is no foundation and you can't count on anything... I think that this is becoming a very, very big win for the Crimson Tide program.
Yeah, I don't think it can. We can't say enough how big this is, how unheard of something like this is in this current landscape of college football. Like, it is completely unfathomable to me that you can go through a transfer portal period without having your roster change right now. And that seemingly is what's going to happen for Alabama now. Like you said, we got a couple days still. But if you're not in it now, what are you doing? You know, the market's drying up with every passing second. So I would think that, you know, but I would assume, and if you're not in the portal, you're not going in the portal. So it's just crazy. Yes, Bama fans, this is like, massive, massive win. This is the most you really grasp. This is the most insane thing that has happened since Kalen DeBoer took over here. Like, it's unheard of.
All right, last thing for us today on a Wednesday, hanging out with us in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. Appreciate everybody who's watching us on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page, on my own social media machines at JoeGaither6, and listening to us on your favorite podcast platform. Yesterday, the College Football Playoff Committee, the College Football Playoff powers that be announce dates and times for this next year's college football playoff. That is fine. Nothing that unusual, but I just don't like it. I don't like this. And maybe it's because it says Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, and my sport is played on a Saturday, mostly. Then I get, we've been dealing with Monday championship games forever, and that's probably never going to change.
I'll never like it.
The TV executives, yeah, they've got that math figured out. But here we go. All right, Wednesday, December 31st, Cotton Bowl, 7:30, 6:30 for us. Then we wake up, playoff game at 11 a.m. on January 1. Orange Bowl at 11 a.m. I'm not a big fan of going playoff at 11, playoff at 3, Rose Bowl at 3, and Sugar Bowl at 7.
No, why can we not have 2 and 2? I just don't understand. Why can we not do
a Thursday Eve.
Friday instead of a Wednesday Thursday and make it 2 and 2?
Well, it's New Year's Eve, so like I don't have an issue with this round being Wednesday Thursday because it's New Year's Eve. We're all off work. This is true. And nobody's really working New Year's Day, barely. I mean, some of you are, and I'm sorry. And I don't mean to exclude you. Thank you for your service. But
I hate the 1 and 3.
Yeah, we're starting it. We're starting early, that early. We're going to wait. I mean, great. We're all going to be up at that time anyways. Wait, we can't do it at 4 on the 31st and then at 6:30?
And maybe it's a hot take, but yeah. I'm not a big fan of like waking up and immediately having to lock into football mode, basically. Because I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be waking up. I wake up a little earlier than noon or 11, but that's not that far removed from me waking up on a day where I'm expecting to just sit down and kind of leisure around and watch football like New Year's Day would be. So yeah, no, I like having give me my morning and like to mid afternoon to hang out, do some stuff, and then I can lock into football. You know, 3 o'clock and on. I hate the. I've never been an 11 a.m. guy. I just will never like the 11 a.m. kick in anything.
So we're playing. This is messed up to me, at least. Your Cotton Bowl on Wednesday night. You're going to win. You're going to get your win, and you're probably. I mean, look at these dates. You have to be slotted into the Thursday date, January 8th, and the Fiesta Bowl, because otherwise, are you going to make one of these? You're going to. You have to. One of these winners on Thursday gets to play. Basically on a 6-day week where the winner on the Wednesday gets to play on a 7-day week. And then you have people who are playing on the Friday, January 9th, getting a 7-day week. So one team's getting screwed. One, not all of them. One team gets screwed with a 6-day week. Everybody else gets 7-day weeks, which, okay, you can bitch about one day and say it's not that big of a deal, but we are trying to make this fair, are we not? We're trying to keep this thing somewhat competitive and equal opportunity. I know that's probably dirty words now, but that just seems like it doesn't make sense. It just seems like, of course, we're playing two games on Wednesday so that those two winners can play on the following Thursday.
It makes too much sense, I guess.
I don't understand. Like, I know I'm not in these rooms for the TV executives.
And there's so many variables that we probably are not considering. But, ugh.
And then you're going to get 10 days off for the championship. I'm sorry. There's no continuity between the end of the regular season and the national championship game. Yeah, the ties here are loose. The threads are not sewn in very well.
I don't understand why we have to have a 10-day break for a championship game, but the other games only get a 6 or 7. Why can we not do like an 8 and 8, a 9 or a 9 and 8, whatever? Why are we not splitting this? You don't need 10 days to prepare for the championship game. You've played a full season. Like, you don't need that. You don't need 10 days. Give them 8. Let's tighten it up just a little bit. We had this discussion in January of this year, talking about the playoff calendar and how it felt ridiculous that we were playing college football this late into the year. This is going to be the same thing. We should not be playing college football this late into the year. I don't like it. To tighten it up a bit, keep it as a fall and winter sport. We don't need to be going in close to February with our college football. That's NFL territory. I'm ready to turn my brain off of college and switch to NFL playoffs at that time of year.
Yes, because you're dead in the middle of the NFL playoffs right there.
Yeah.
That's January 19th. How many weeks is that before the first February, the first Monday in February? Let's see. Go ahead. December. January 19 is the Monday. So that's 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. That's 2 weeks before. That's conference championship weekend is what that is. So you're going to get your NFC and AFC championship games on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. Great. You're going to be in football heaven, and you're going to turn around and watch the college football title on a Monday night.
Sounds cool in theory.
It doesn't work.
But it just, yeah, I'm not. You I don't need like to, it. You need I need to, college football to end before the NFL. Like, I need it. You know what I'm saying? I need college football to be wrapped up.
My bandwidth. I only have so much bandwidth for so many games. And like by that time, the priority is probably the NFL playoffs. Yeah. Ohio State beat the heck out of who? Who?
I truly do not remember. Yeah, I really don't know right now.
Tennessee, they beat Oregon.
Arizona State was up there somewhere. They got beat in the semifinal, I think. I'm blanking. I like people might think we're doing a
Penn State,
bit. I am truly blanking on who played for the national championship this year.
Ohio State beat the brakes off of Oregon. Was the second round. Oregon was the second round. It was Tennessee at home. It was Oregon in the Rose Bowl. And then it was Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame beat Georgia.
That's right.
See, this is what happens. You've convoluted the product.
Yeah.
Oh, discouraging. And we're going to do it again this year, here.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about the WWE stuff with all the advertisements and everything, and I'm looking at these bowl logos. And, you know, they've been this way for years, obviously. The Capital One Orange Bowl, Goodyear Cotton Bowl, Allstate Sugar Bowl. But, like, the Rose Bowl games presented by Prudential just looks so awful. That logo, I'm staring at it. It's such an eyesore there, that big, ugly Prudential logo on the, at least all the other ones, like, it's weaved into the logo some, but I know that the Rose, I just know in my, I haven't done the research for this, but I just know this is how it happened. The Rose Bowl said, we're not changing our logo.
Exactly.
We were the Rose Bowl.
You could slap your name right below it, right underneath.
Disgusting.
It.
Disgusting.
You can just put your logo name right underneath it. Our little pretty rose.
I hate that.
Of course, that's what happened. And you see, this time, this 4 p.m. Eastern, this 3 p.m. Central is an hour later, I think, than normal. I think is what I read. And so people were upset that sunset would happen later during the Rose Bowl this year. The sunset will not happen at 13:25 in the third quarter or whatever the case may be.
I just don't care about the Rose Bowl that much. And maybe that's crazy. I never have.
Maybe it'll change if we go one day.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it is like you just have to see it to kind of appreciate it. But I just have never. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's been good Rose Bowl games. And I've watched just about all of them throughout my life. But I've never viewed it as this, like, what a lot, seemingly a lot of people within the college football world view it as
the
this.
Granddaddy of them all.
I just have never cared about it that much.
Well, write this down for Thursday, for tomorrow, because we'll ask Katie about her Rose Bowl experience, and you can get your little perspective from her. We got to close it down for the day. We've had a lot of fun with you, the listener, the viewer, on the Bama Central YouTube page, on the Bama Central Facebook channel. We've had a lot of fun on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon. You can be like our friend Everett Osborne and leave us a comment on the Facebook page. We're going to have a lot of fun. We'll check in with Katie tomorrow, I believe, unless she's got some scheduling conflicts. But that will be my plan today, to check in with her, make sure she's going to join us tomorrow, setting up Alabama softball's weekend, talking Alabama football, the NFL draft. Mason Woods, our game tomorrow is over under. How many Alabama players will be drafted in the first round? If you're listening here at this point, you can leave us a voicemail and play this game with us. Over or under 1.5, how many Alabama players will be drafted in the first round of the NFL draft? That's 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.